time for In and Around the House with Tony Wirtz and Ernie Brown. Got a question? Call us at 749-B105. Now, let's join Tony Wirtz and Ernie Brown for In and Around the House.
Good morning. Welcome to In and Around the House with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. Good to be back. I had the weekend off last weekend, and Tony had a couple of guys come in. We had Chip Hart from Hart Productions and Bob Bard from Bard's Nursery subbing for me. That's right. It takes two people to fill this chair.
It does. Literally. Good morning, by the way, Ernie.
Good morning, Tony.
Glad you're back in good form. Looking good.
It is good to be back, and we've got, wait a minute, winter weather has returned for at least the next couple of hours, and then it'll be spring again, and it'll turn to summer on Monday. The funny thing about that is you always hear about the tri-state weather. If you don't like it, hang out for a little while. It's bound to change. So we have a little cold snap for today. Temperatures only hovering up close to 50 once the sun comes up. And then 60 tomorrow, then 62 on Monday, and then 65 on Tuesday with some showers, and then a little bit cooler weather. But plenty of time to get to your local home and garden center, and even to the garden show. That's going on again this weekend, right?
Oh, yeah. Nice, great show. A lot of cool stuff down there, as a matter of fact. Did you go, by chance?
Have you been there? I was out of town last week, and I'm going to try to get down tomorrow.
You taking Lisa?
Of course.
Good. Well, I'm just checking. Yeah. Just, you know, yeah. I didn't know what you had in mind.
Mm-hmm.
Our good friends Watson's had an awesome setup. It just draws you in. Makes you want to pick up, I'll take a hot tub, you know, new outdoor furniture set right there. As a matter of fact, I need a couple umbrellas, all that good stuff. So, lots to see there at the Watson's booth. And, some of our other local leaders were down there as well. Arlinghouse Heating and Air. So if you need to tune up your heating and air system, or you need to replace that if it's getting a little decrepit and starting to wear out and give you some problems, give Arlinghouse Heating and Air a call. Maddox Garden Center was down there, had a nice little setup. Our good friend Bob from Bard's Nursery had a beautiful setup.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of cool stuff.
I did see a video clip of him on one of the news channels here locally where they had done a feature about the opening of the show, and Bob was on that clip.
Yeah, I think they usually interview him. He's really smart. He was drinking smart water last weekend.
Was he?
I couldn't hang, you know? And he had on his workout attire, looked really good. Just, you know,
drinking smart water is the key, huh?
Yeah, I even said smart on the bottle. I was like, whoa, I didn't know they made such stuff. I'm going to go get a case. But it was a great show. Yeah, Chip Hart was in here. It was nice putting the face to the voice with Chip. You know, he's a big old hunter. And sometimes you might catch him early in the morning talking about things on his hunting show on Saturday mornings. But, it was a great show last week. And getting down to the Home and Garden show, that's something I think everybody needs to take in. You know, I was telling you earlier, too, that last week I couldn't think of the name of the shed company, or they do these small, like, sheds and barns of various sizes and shapes.
Right.
But it's Weaver.
Weaver
Barns, yes.
Okay.
I think, as a matter of fact, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, that Katie had purchased a shed from them. I mean, you can almost live in these things, Ernie. Mm-hmm. The floors are really well constructed, tongue and groove. 2x6s.
Yeah.
It's not that flimsy stuff, you know. It's not that cheap stuff.
Right.
They're well made.
And a proper place for everything you need for your lawn and gardening materials.
Man, they were cool. And as a matter of fact, what did I see the other day? I thought about you. It was an article somewhere. She sheds.
And
she sheds a lot of light on. No, she sheds are becoming a thing, which I've never heard of. Have you?
Well, once you mentioned that before, I did take a chance to look it up, and it's pretty good. It's a little gardening shed for the ladies, you know, where they get a chance to, organize everything, unlike the man shed where you just open the doors, throw everything in, and close the doors until it's spring, and you open the door and try to sort things out and then get to work.
Everything falls out on you when you walk in.
Falls out, yeah.
Well, you always brag and say how you keep yours in nice shape. But, you know, a garden shed is a necessity. If you have room for a garden shed, you keep a lot of the things out of the garage. Are you one of those guys or just things are everywhere in the garage?
Yes.
Bothers me. Mm-hmm. That bothers me.
Yeah. I have a path. I have a path to my motorcycle, mm-hmm. the old blue 92, and a path to the door that goes inside the house, and then everything else is. But that's because of the construction downstairs in the basement.
You're still working on it, aren't you?
Still working on that. Yep.
Won't you just get like a dumpster dropped off over there and just get all that stuff out?
Don't give my wife any ideas. Don't give her any ideas.
Get it done, Ernie. What are you waiting on?
It's only time and money, and I have neither.
You have a lot of time. I know you have a lot of time. But the shed idea, I think that's so important. Not that that was on my main topic today, mm-hmm. but it's one of those things, you know, you can keep your lawnmower in there, all of your power equipment for outdoors. But something I will caution you about, if you're using any of your, you know, your liquid fertilizers and chemicals and things like that, certainly don't allow those to stay out there year-round.
Sure.
If they freeze, then all of a sudden, all the components, the ingredients, they just start to separate. They're not that effective, and you'll need to toss it.
Good idea.
Toss it properly, by the way.
That's exactly right. I was getting ready to say that. And speaking of storing your mower, mm-hmm. I took mine over to Bud Herbert Motors to get it tuned up and ready to go. They said they would go ahead and take mine, but there was one over there had been sitting there for a long time, and they were thinking about selling it, and I noticed your name was on it.
You're right. I feel real. John, Jim, I'm sorry. Yeah, so they can't take on any more business because my stuff's taking up space. Oh, yeah, I know. I got to pick it up. Oh, my gosh.
Well, let's make an appointment and go over and visit with them because they're great guys. As a matter of fact, I saw a John Deere ice cream making apparatus over there on the display for and mm-hmm. took a couple of pictures, and we're going to get that posted on our Facebook page. You can check it out. That was really cool.
That's an old piece. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, so I can't wait to ask some questions about that when we do go. But let's go over this week and
I'd like to hang out with you sometime this week, uh-huh. but I need to get my stuff probably today.
Okay.
I need to cut my ornamental grasses.
Oh, do you?
Okay. Oh, absolutely. Hmm. And I've been putting it off, but I need my weed eater or uh-huh. my string trimmer.
Yeah.
Because I have a special attachment for it.
Right.
To cut back ornamental grasses. Uh-huh. A nice blade. Does a perfect job. All I need to do is pick that up, get some duct tape, and I'm in because I'll just wrap that around the grass and get it out.
Do you want to go over right after the show today? I'll let you buy me breakfast and we'll go over and pick them all up and I'll take them to your house and drop them off.
Really? You have the van?
I do.
You're the van.
I got room and
so you don't have to be anywhere after the show.
No. We'll roll right over to Bud Herbert and pick up our equipment, and that way they could probably take care of another five or six people once all of our gear's out of their way.
Oh, they'll be glad to see me.
I wonder if we could send them a text and ask them to fire up that ice cream machine. A little ice cream breakfast sounds great.
There you go. No, not me.
749-B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. When we come back, we're going to continue a little conversation about the Home and Garden Show and some water features that you may be interested in. We'll be right back. Welcome back, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. If you get a chance this morning, check out our Facebook page. We've got that posted about the ice cream making machine that's on display down at Bud Herbert Motors, and it's just super, super cool. You know, wouldn't mind seeing that baby in
action. Fired up. Yeah. It works, from what I understand.
Nice.
And you know, I guess you're going to sing that song, that David Lee Roth song. I'm your ice cream man. Stop me when I'm passing by.
Yeah, you go. That's a great one.
It is.
But while I was over there, too, I noticed that, you know, they've got a lot of the cool displays out, and they're ready for spring, so make sure you stop by and see our friends over there at Bud Herbert Motors.
They do a great job. They really do. And it's well worth taking your mower and all of your power equipment, getting it tuned up, mm-hmm. ready for the upcoming season. Just a couple weeks ago, the way things were progressing, there are some people, I'm sure, that need to mow their grass. But, boy, as soon as you start that,
yeah, it's coming. Interesting that you bring that up because there was so much rain last week with all that severe weather and storm.
Yeah.
Mine has some areas where it looks like it needs to be cut, but I'm going to put it off for quite some time.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why is because the ground is so saturated, I think I'll do more damage than good there. Hey, Tony, we have Matt on the line from Westchester who's got a question about some of those sheds you may have seen. Good morning, Matt. Thanks for the call. What's going on out in Westchester?
Good morning. I love your show.
Thank you so
Thanks,
much.
Thanks, Matt.
I have been considering needing a shed. You brought it up, and I thought, hey, this is somebody who might understand better than I, but what can you give any advice as to the do's and don'ts of buying a shed? I see that you can buy a shed that's pre-made, and they'll deliver it to you and drop it in your yard where you want,
mm-hmm.
or you can go to Lowe's or Home Depot and buy one of these manufactured and put it together yourself.
Right.
I have no idea where to even begin. I'm more intimidated by the fact of buying one. I don't know where to go first.
Sure. I can tell you, man, I try to avoid all that some assembly required because my brother Cliff is way too busy to come over and do it for me or to help me out when I make mistakes.
Yeah, and I have nobody else either.
I have one piece of advice that I absolutely would offer without question is check two or three times to make sure where you're going to place it is the right place.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing you don't want to do is have it be put in some place and find out that it's too close to someone's yard or fence line or it becomes inaccessible during inclement weather. And to put okay. down a good base, almost as if you were going to put down some paver stones, you'd want to dig away some of the topsoil and put some dense grade gravel down so that water wicks away from it.
Okay.
And make sure that you have a good place to put it when you make that decision. I'll let Tony pick up here with some other advice.
Oh, I could tell you firsthand a couple things. When I was younger, a first-time homeowner, the shed that I purchased was one that they built kind of like on site, but nothing near the quality of Weaver. You know, that's for me now, knowing what I know and being a little bit older and, you know, finances are kind of there somewhat, you know, I need to upgrade to something better.
Right.
And if I were to do it and not do it myself or call some of my friends who are very handy carpenters, Weaver would be certainly my top go-to. Now, I will say this. Are you, is your backyard or where you have ideas of placing it, is it flat? Is it on a hill?
It is flat. I have a couple places I'd like to put it. I'd like to eventually put electricity to it
yep.
for lighting inside. I don't want a small shed. I'd like something around 20 by 20.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's a large shed, but I want to be able to put everything in there. I can't even get my car in the garage right now, and that's
right. yeah,
really
right.
bothersome to me.
You know,
yes, it is flat.
I think the first thing, too, you should check with your Westchester code board and make
right.
certain if there are any of those restrictions so that you don't get something too big and then get told that you can't put it there. But you're okay. on the right track. Bigger is always better because if you fill it up and still have stuff, then you just kind of
I will
the same problem.
Check out Matt, their website, because they do they can custom do things. They have things that they go off of as well. And some of these, I mean, they look like little like cabins or lakeside houses that you can post up in. If you ever get in trouble, I mean, you can certainly stay in one of these things.
Sleep in the shed.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not kidding you. And a great idea. When you think about doing something of the sort, do a couple things. If you're running electric, see what kind of access you have to run water, too, because you're talking about an automobile down in that area. You know, you might want to wash it, or you might want to wash off your power equipment. You know, try and incorporate and place all those things into, you know, bring it into play when you do something of the sort. But I was going to tell you, some of these guys, when they put them in the backyards for homeowners, when they're using like the stacked block, and if you're on a hillside, that's a no-no because that will eventually shift.
yeah, that'll follow.
That is something I want to really point out to people. And also look through, you know, some of those windows, how important windows are. You know, that's another thing that I would incorporate.
Well, and that was the other point, is that when you go to Lowe's or Home Depot, if you read the fine print, windows and roof tiles are not included in the kit.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Whereas if you go to, say, a company like, I don't know, Shed Max that I've seen, they'll build it for you, but it's going to cost about $1,000 more than what you would pay at another store.
Right.
So,
right.
Windows, I'm not a carpenter.
Yeah. Here's something we always try to apply to. The most expensive tool you buy is the cheap one. So if you save money on the front end by buying one that you think you're saving money at and buying it cheaply, then it doesn't last as long. I would invest in it because you plan on being at the property for quite some time. And it is a tool that you will use every season. So
yeah,
let us know what you decide to do there, Matt.
I will do. Thank you for your time.
Yeah, okay. Matt, if you get a chance, get down to the Home and Garden Show and check out the quality of Weaver. I'm not just saying that. It's a nice shed.
It is on my list to do's.
All right.
Thank
you, follow up with us. Thanks, Matt. Have a good weekend.
Thank you. You too.
749-B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. We need to pause for a moment. We'll be right back. Welcome back in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. Tony, we have a couple calls on the line. We're going to go first to Tim from Lynchburg, and he's got a tree question for you. It appears to be dying. What kind of tree is it, Tim?
Well, I have a row of, a total of about 10 of them, weeping willows, and I planted them about 10 years ago. And the gentleman that I bought most of them off of, he said that there's kind of a disease going through the weeping willows where they just split, and once they split, you know, everything kind of falls apart, and they just break off and die.
Okay.
Two of the 8 or 10 that I planted have survived the 10 years since I put them in the ground, but everything else is splitting on me and dying off, and I don't know whether to go out and buy some new ones or and wait for the so-called disease to go away, or if there's some different type or type, breed of the weeping willow I can plant that's more hardy.
Well, I've heard of willows having some issues with various diseases, to be honest with you. I'm not that well-versed, and this is something that I would encourage you to contact or get in touch with an arborist. But I know that in some situations they can develop these cankers that affects the willows, and disease gets into them. Also, I've heard of there's a certain type of twig blight that they can also take on, where the leaves start to turn brown and wilt, and you'll start seeing some of that dying back from the tips. I don't know. And I think that canker issue is usually right there around the in the trunk of the tree that you were describing.
Yeah.
But, the fact that you, would you say you had like 10 of these?
I had 10 total in the beginning. Now I'm down to about 7 because I just refused to keep planting them and watching them die.
Right. And usually, how it spreads, I'm not really sure and certain. But I would look at it like this. It would be diversity for me. But it seems as if you're trying to get and achieve a certain look by planting all these, like one species that's very appealing and easy on the eye. However, if you're having these kind of issues, that's kind of it's a telltale sign that you don't keep doing what you're doing.
Right.
I would try and diversify and add other species of trees there versus, it's just sticking with the willow.
Well, it's down on the creek line, and
right.
I kind of want to just hold the soil in. What's another kind of tree that I can put it on a creek line?
What comes to mind, and it's away from the house, it's not up close to the house, or river birches. They like that kind of situation.
Okay.
The London plane tree, the old sycamore, another great tree that I think has a lot of character to it. There are some maples, too, out there that will tolerate some water as well, grow in that type of environment. So, you're not really limited, but just to give you a couple right offhand that I would think of, I would certainly consider those.
Well, the river birch, I had one that I've had a few river birch also. I had one that split. Should we trim those back as the little suckers grow out, or You just let them grow naturally. I know there's different varieties that mm-hmm. are kind of more of a bush than a tree, but to get the tree look, you just keep suckering it back then, right?
Yeah, but there are some that are more of a shrub look than the tree look. I would go for the tree, usually a multi-stem.
Yeah.
Suckering, as far as that goes, you know, I have a river birch. I've never really had any issues at all with suckering. Usually okay. it's, for me, it's limbing it up. And secondly, with the weather we had the other day, I have tips everywhere in my yard as a result of the wind.
Right.
Other, you know, and it, being away from your house, describe, you know, the area that you just described, I think it would be suited well yeah. there.
Okay.
And, you know, let me know if, you know, just to, where are you located? I'm sorry.
It's out in Lynchburg.
Lynchburg.
And, yeah, about 10 years ago, we dredged out the creek, and it was really good, heart, you know, mm-hmm. hardy soil.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not really a clay soil, but
right.
I think maybe it's reaching that clay, and the trees are struggling. I don't know. I'm
right.
thinking of all kinds of different reasons.
Right, right. You know, I would try, like, Madison Tree Care, just to throw out a couple of certified arborists for you. Backtree, Gregory Forrest, Lester Incorporated Tree Company, or Davy Tree. I'd have somebody take a look at those, you know, your salix, the willows, and just kind of give you a little bit of an assessment with those. I've heard of that before, but I wish I knew more that I could tell you. Unfortunately, I do not.
All right. Well, you've been helpful, though.
Well, let us know what you find out.
Yep.
I will.
Okay.
Thank you.
749-B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. Tony, we have Wendy on the line from Amelia, who has a cowl lily question. Am I saying that correctly?
Cowl lily.
Yeah. Good morning. How are you, Wendy?
Yeah, I'm doing good, guys. It's a good morning. But now, my daughter, for Valentine's Day, gave me this beautiful calla lily
uh-huh.
purple blooms.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the blooms are now dying off.
Mm-hmm.
I know in this zone,
they could be suspect.
Really?
Yes. Well, let's talk about the calla lily itself is best suited for zone 7. Now, I've seen a lot of people who have planted calla lilies in their landscape beds up close to the house in a lot of situations, and they winter over quite well. And for the most part this year, the winter's been relatively mild.
Absolutely.
I would not think that there would be any issues with any calla lilies this year, especially.
Okay, well, like I said, these are in a pot.
Uh-huh.
The blooms have died off,
mm-hmm.
so I've cut back on the watering.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I wait for the green to die off. Do I put them in the ground now? Or I'm not now, but
no.
After frost date.
Yes, after the frost date. That's when I want you to plant those. Find a home, determine where you want to place those, and go ahead and at that time plant them and just let it come. Those have been forced.
Correct.
Okay. So just let them do their thing, get them in the ground so they can start cycling back to the way they normally behave, and you should be fine.
Okay. Yeah, no, I just, because they were so, I've never seen a purple calla.
Oh, there's a lot of different calla lilies.
Oh, I know.
Yes, and they're quite lovely, and actually they do relatively well. They're easy to lift and divide. You know, you do that later in the season.
Correct.
You know, after they've been established for a while. And, you know, typically you will find, just to let other people know, you will find calla lilies readily available at your local nurseries and garden centers this time of year. Actually, we just got ours in a couple of days ago. So those are the type of bulbs that you plant in the spring.
Okay, yeah, because that was my question. You guys have helped me so much with my rookie roses.
Well, thank you.
That, yeah, I depend on you guys for this stuff. I generally do vegetables. I'm not much of a flower person, but, you know, I want to keep these because they were so pretty.
Oh, they're lovely. And, you know, a lot of young brides-to-be, they always think about the calla lilies, and they incorporate those into their bouquets, and they're beautiful. When you see a calla lily, everybody gravitates towards the calla lily. I'm with you.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you, guys. You're my favorite two folks to listen to in the morning, and I do talk to Bob Bard on a regular basis, too. So.
Good.
Yeah, Bob's all right. Yeah, Bob's okay when he's out of town or asleep. No, I'm just kidding.
Thank you. All right,
bye,
Wendy.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Have a great weekend. Bye.
You too.
749-B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. Need to pause for a moment. We'll be right back. Welcome back in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. And it is going to be a great day to get to your locally owned, independently operated garden center and get down to the garden show at the Duke Energy Center this year. Tony and I were talking about that earlier. And something you want to check out, a lot of the cool water features down there.
Oh, yeah.
Think about that this year for your landscape.
Aquatic garden decor, they have a great setup down there, as a matter of fact. And actually, I think, from what I'm starting to see, water features are making a comeback.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a great display down there, as a matter of fact. And Jim Sparnell and his staff do a really good job. I don't know Jim personally, but I know of him. And a great reputation they have up there at the aquatic garden decor. But a lot of the stuff that they sell... You know, I'm very familiar with fountains from Henry Studios, fountains from Campagna, also Mazzarelli. Those are three solid companies that when you buy a fountain, you're getting quality, and you're going to get that quality from a locally owned place like Aquatic, you know, Home and Garden Decor. We sell a lot of those fountains. I know that Todd down at Baton's, they sell some fountains from those companies I just mentioned. Quality pieces. And I'm seeing where people are looking at those fountains. They're not buying the big grandeur kind of looking fountain.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's the ones that they can move with these, take care of with, it's rather easy, the maintenance part of it, covering them and winterizing them for the winter months.
Mm-hmm.
A water feature, it's a great addition to the garden.
Sure.
When you hear water running, be it on your deck or your patio, and some of those fountains, if you have enclosed rooms or seasonal rooms, very little splash. In a lot of situations, no splash.
Right.
You still see a little water movement. You hear a little bit of water movement.
Yeah.
You might have to get up and go to the bathroom a little more
often. I was just going
to
say that.
But actually, they make for wonderful pieces. We just sold at Jackson Florist and Garden Center the other day. We have these really beautiful metal, verdigris kind of fountains that tear down these big leaves, and they just go all the way down into the main pool.
Mm-hmm.
Easy to set up.
Yeah.
But I'm seeing the water features kind of making a comeback. And, you know, bird baths as well.
I was going to say that there is something very soothing about that trickling water. You
mm-hmm.
would get like a babbling brook effect. And it's one of those things where it's all about relaxation. You work very hard to get the garden or the landscape to a certain point, but take the time to rejoice and to celebrate in what you've done and just sit there for a few minutes and enjoy it.
Absolutely. And that's the beauty of going to the Home and Garden Show at the Duke Energy Convention Center.
Uh-huh.
And that's put on by our friends at Hart Productions. They do a great job. And I was really amazed talking with Chip how many years that he's been involved with that, his family.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a number of years, and I'm sure that he has seen a lot of trends come and go. But you can go down there, you can get some great, great ideas. And creating that outdoor living environment,
mm-hmm.
it's still the end thing because everybody enjoys the outdoors, and they can just leave the confines of the inside part of the home, go outside, and are connected to nature.
Yeah.
And it's just a place to relax. When we leave work, what do you want to do?
Drink.
You want to? I'm with you. I hear you.
Sorry.
I can help you with that, too.
Yes, you can. But we do need a place to just sort of recharge our battery in a sense where we just can put the rest of the day away.
Right. You know, and I was looking, I don't have a hot tub by any means, but, you know, they are relaxing. And those that I saw from Watson's, I mean, they have music. They have lighting on these units, all these little special jets. You know, they're located all within. They even had some tubs you could fit in really, really well, you know?
Ta-dum-bum-dum-boom-tsh. 749-B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. We need to pause for a minute, and when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about the severe weather that we've endured in the last week or so. It was brutal out there, enormous amount of rainfall and how that's going to affect whether or not you're going to do any overseeding, winter seeding, when and where to do it, and when to stay off the lawn. We'll be right back. Welcome back in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. And you remember we were joking just a few minutes earlier about, hey, if you don't like the weather in the tri-state, just wait. It'll change. It's snowing.
Or you can move. You just pack up and move. Right?
Yep. The forecast for today, sunny skies with a mixture of snow showers. Only in the tri-state. High of 47. 60 tomorrow with sunshine, and then on Monday, 62. Some showers moving into the area on Tuesday with 64, 55 on Wednesday, and 60 again on Thursday, mostly sunny skies. So
it's crazy. It's snowing now.
Uh-huh.
You can see just a little dusting out there on top of the vehicles.
And that leads me to think about, we mentioned too, about winter seeding, since it's snowing and it feels like winter for the moment. Should we run out and winter seed? I'm a little cautious getting on.
Not today. Yeah. No, it's too wet. Yeah. Didn't you get a lot of rain the other day?
Oh, it was flooding.
Where you live?
Flooding. Yes.
Yeah. It's too wet to get out onto the lawn. It's so saturated. You know, as you walk on it, it's real spongy. That's not a good thing to do. Actually, you create a lot of compaction. The soil still, it's full of water.
Uh-huh.
There's little oxygen right now in the soil surface. Or down into the soil, and it's just not a good thing to do. Wait till it dries out well enough to if you want a winter seed, it still is winter.
Uh-huh.
This is still a good time to do it. But however, this weekend, allow things to dry out a little bit.
Sure.
That's my advice. And like it or not, you know, it's just not what you want to do, be tromping out there on the lawn.
Mm-hmm. Well, in another timely piece, too, we have our friend Jason from Herman Services coming in later today. A lot of people have water damage in their basements, in their house, and we can ask him about some of those services that they may provide, and including sump pumps.
Oh, I got, you know what? I need to talk to him just about that, because the float mechanism on the one we have at the garden center, it doesn't want to shut off.
Oh.
So, I need to ask an expert there. So, I know, I might have to have Jason come out and take a look at that and replace it.
Sure.
Not sure, but we also had a call from Rick in the Loveland area. And he was just curious about the three-step program, when to start that. This weekend, probably not a good idea because it's relatively wet. So what you can do, Rick, and everybody else, as far as I'm concerned, is get out to your local garden centers and nurseries, pick up your three-step program, and have it ready to go when comes time. But the weather we were having a couple weeks ago, it was way over the top, above normal conditions. And you could see things were really starting to move and progress quickly. This, what we're having now, is a nice pushback. We need this. It's kind of like what we can normally expect.
Uh-huh.
So anytime you can get out on the lawn during the course of this month in March, get that first step down with the imidacloprid. The prodiamine, excuse me, with the prodiamine product that's going to give you a good solid 5 to 6 months protection against crabgrass from germinating in your lawn or any other unwanted weeds. It's a great, great pre-emergent. So look for the products that have prodiamine in them, the Fertilume three-step program, and that's it. And you'll be golden. It's a great product. Just you need to get into the program. And also, you have to have a lawn first. In order to take care of a lawn, you need a lawn. So if you need to sow grass seed, you certainly cannot do that first step or put down that application. It will prevent your grass seed from germinating. You can do this, though. You can go ahead, sow grass seed, allow it to germinate, allow it to put on some growth. You mow it a time or two or three times, then go ahead and put down that first application. You may not get everything. However, I can assure you that you will get most everything. And you're going to get that 5 to 6 months protection out of it. So that's the key to keeping those unwanted problems out of your lawn. Anything existing. We had that roundtable discussion with a lot of our local leaders here in the tri-state area.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking about taking this Fertilume three-step program. And we want to kind of coin it and talk about it in such a way. We want to call it the Fertilume three-step plus. that plus element here is using weed-free zone to keep anything out of the lawn that gets into the lawn. And that is your post-emergent herbicide. So that anytime something's existing, that's the route you need to take.
Now, if you're going to put that down, you what about seeding grass? If it's a pre-emergent, then anything you put down before you put that on won't come back up, correct? Am I understanding
that
correctly?
No, that's a post-emergent product. So after something's in existence, that's what you'll want to spray with, unless it's not labeled on the bottle that will take care of something. But weed-free zone is a great product. The thing of it is, when you use weed-free zone, then you need to wait about 2 to 3 weeks before you can sow grass seed.
Now, what about people who have lawn care services? How do they regulate that?
That's a tough one to regulate. Mm-hmm. And really, any regulation that's taking place is you contacting your service provider there that's taking care of your lawn. And it's so important, and I'm glad you brought that up, because if you have sown grass seed and the lawn service company that you're working with or that takes care of your lawn is not aware of that, they're going to put down that pre-emergent that may prevent that grass seed from germinating.
Mm-hmm.
Then you're going to think, and you're going to go back to the place where you bought the grass seed and try and convince them that it was bad. And I'm here to tell you, that's probably not the case. So, you know, coordinate that with your lawn service company. That's so important. And I wish more lawn service companies would do the courtesy of giving their customers a call and just simply ask, you know, what are your intentions this, you know, late winter, early spring? Are you wanting to sow grass seed? Do you need to sow grass seed so we can do what we need to do properly without affecting that in a negative way?
749-B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guy. Has been covering a lot of ground this morning. We have our friend Jason from Herman Services coming in around 8 o'clock. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about rose bushes. We always have our friends and listeners ask us if it's okay to do a little pruning, and we'll answer those questions for you when we return. In and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. We'll be right back.
Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys, in and around the house, is ready with your plant of the week.
Our plant of the week this week is a snow shovel. Might have to use one later today.
You're calling that a plant?
Much to my surprise, when I read the forecast this morning at 5:15 and doing a little show prep and getting ready for the day, I didn't believe there'd be snow showers, but sure enough, right outside the studio, everything's covered with a dusting of snow. I know my wife is up early sitting by the fire listening to us this morning and enjoying it, and we love this part. It just, I wasn't expecting to see flurries today.
I don't like this.
Yeah.
No. We've had too nice of a winter thus far.
Yeah. It won't
Let's move on.
Right.
No, we're on, what, 40s today? That'll all melt off.
And then 60s tomorrow, so.
Yeah, can't beat it.
Our plant of the week, rose bushes.
And, for this reason, a lot of people have asked me, called into the garden center, you know, hey, can I prune back my rose bushes? Why, certainly. You sure can. And now's a good time to do it. You know, late winter, early spring.
Mm-hmm.
We're right in that time frame. Not today. You know, if you do it in a couple of days or sometime next week, it's not going to matter if you do it today or then. But it's certainly the time to start considering, you know, pruning back your rose bushes, with the exception of your climbers. Typically, when you prune on your climbers, you're just trying to shape those up a little bit. You'll prune out anything that's dead, diseased, or damaged. And you may have some damage. A lot of people may have some damage. You know, we had all that wind the other day.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I saw a lot of trees, a lot of those dead limbs up in the old ash trees. You know, they're starting to drop. That wind's moving those trees around, and you're seeing a lot of that stuff up on the hillsides. But, you know, go ahead, make your pruning cuts, cut back your rose bushes to about 12 to 15 inches. I say this often, too, especially this time of year and the kind of weather that we've been having. Leave yourself a little wiggle room. And when I say that, leave a couple extra inches in case you need to prune your roses again if they put on growth and we get another, you know, a major cold snap. You know, a lot of times those major cold snaps, that new growth's a little too tender, so you might have to cut some of that back out.
Mm-hmm.
And when we're pruning our rose bushes, if you would, if you get the opportunity, take a look at our Facebook page. I posted a couple of photos out there of how to make that cut, that prune cut on your rose bushes. And the whole objective is, what we're trying to do is keep the rose bush healthy. We're trying to open it up. And when we open it up and we get it to grow in such a way, think about it. A lot of times rose bushes can be plagued with diseases during the growing season because it's hot, it's humid, they're wet, you know, or you're watering over top when you irrigate at night. Those high humidity levels, all that water lies around onto the surface of the foliage, and you start getting powdery mildew or black spot or rust. You know what we're doing? We're opening up that rose bush so air movement can get through that rose bush a lot better and keeps those diseases at bay. It's not the end-all answer to disease issues with roses, but it helps tremendously by keeping them pruned back, keeping them open. And when you do this, when you prune your rose bushes, look at the canes. Anything that's crossing inside one another, cut those out. Open those up.
Okay.
Try and make your cuts on the canes just above a bud union, like a bud, a node on the outside, and make that cut just right up there about a quarter of an inch or so above it at a 45-degree angle.
And, clearly demonstrated on the page. That's
yeah, you found a photograph. There's some photographs from the Illinois Extension Office that had a really good photograph of a good cut, if it's too high or too low or just right. So that gives you a really good indication of how to prune back your rose bushes, in case you don't already know that. Most people do who are rose aficionados. But I thought this was appropriate for right now because late winter, early spring is the best time to do it. And I also want to point this out. It's also a good time when you prune back your rose bushes to do this. And I can't say this enough. If you want to keep the pesky rose slug off of your rose bushes, that is the little insect. It's a sawfly. Its larva is what feeds on the foliage. And you get all those holes in the foliage. And the rose bush looks horrible. It won't kill it, but it just looks downright ugly. You want to keep that from happening, add the systemic drench with imidacloprid to your rose bushes. It's a real simple approach. It's a drench, just as I stated. You water it in after you mix it around the base of the shrub. Now, when you mix your mixture, what's important, you're going to use 3 ounces of the tree and shrub drench with imidacloprid to a gallon of water per foot height of plant. Now, when we cut these back, our rose bushes, we typically cut those back to around 12, 15 inches.
Okay.
Okay? So you need to mix this mixture according to what that rose bush is capable of growing to. So you're just not going to do 3 ounces to 1 gallon of water and pour it in. It's not going to be enough to take it throughout the growing season. So factor on that rose bush getting 3 to 4 feet in height, at least 3. So therefore, what's 3 times 3, Ernie? Good answer. So you need 9 ounces of the drench, okay, to a gallon or 2 gallons of water, poured in slowly around the base, and that will give you up to 1 year protection, and you will have beautiful rose bushes. So prune those back. Add the Fertilume systemic drench to it for insect protection. And then I want you to fertilize monthly. You will have beautiful rose bushes. You will.
Nice.
Also, deadhead your rose bushes as they're growing throughout the season and the blooms expire. You don't have to. They will rebloom without you deadheading. But when you deadhead, you're keeping your rose bush looking really nice. And secondly, it promotes bud development quicker. So it's to your advantage to keep them deadheaded as we progress throughout the season.
Makes perfect sense.
You should have some really nice rose bushes.
Yes.
And, you know, I'm just talking about rose bushes because now's the time to do the pruning. And secondly, a lot of us who grow rose bushes, we grow a lot of Jackson Florist and Garden Center. We do a lot of David Austin roses and various climbers, a lot of star roses. And right now, you know, we've been potting those up. They're coming on really nice. And I just thought that would be the great plant of the week.
Perfect.
Although it's not blooming now, She will later.
Mm-hmm. 749-B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. Several ways to stay connected with us. You can email us at inandaroundthehouse@b105.com or jump onto our Facebook page and check out some of the pictures Tony was just talking about. It's also a great way for you to post some questions for us, and we'll answer those and get those solutions to you as quickly as possible. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about a new seed that when you think about overseeding or winter seeding, we want you to consider maybe reaching into this different bag. In and Around the House with Tony and Ernie. We'll be right back. Welcome back in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. Looking out the studio window, you might not be thinking about seeding your lawn, but you probably need to keep this in the front of your mind, is that when you go to overseed or do any winter seeding, there's a new seed out on the market. We've talked about this a little bit, but Tony's got some more information about a new product, which we think is going to help us all.
Oh, big time. And we're all familiar with Fine Lawn Elite, a great tall fescue seed that's been around for a number of years.
Mm-hmm.
And we've all had great success with it. Well, our good friends at Central Farm and Garden, they've come up with a new version of Fine Lawn Elite, and it is Fine Lawn H2O. And the thing of it is, Ernie, as you know, water conservation is becoming more and more important every year.
Yeah.
And, you know, water's a commodity. And there's a lot of homeowners that won't, they don't want to water their lawn either. But what H2O gives us, Fine Lawn H2O, we still get that beautiful lawn with that exceptional turf quality. We get all of that. We get wear tolerance. We get disease resistance with Fine Lawn H2O. The thing of it is, the added benefit or value of Fine Lawn H2O now is it uses less water. So it's easier on your pocket, right?
Sure.
That's, you know, you're using less water, less fertilizer, and, you know, fewer chemicals. Anytime you can lessen your usage of whatever and it's a benefit, why not get on board? Fine Lawn H2O. Look for it at your local garden centers and nurseries here throughout the tri-state area, our local leaders. And you're going to find it there at the independent garden centers and nurseries. Great. It's a great grass seed. It's a wonderful turf. You won't be disappointed.
Back to nature.
Back to nature, that's for sure. You know, hey, real quick, not to switch gears on you.
But go ahead.
You were always bragging about your fish fry buddies and all those.
Oh, yeah, of the Crescent Springs Villa Hills Fire Department.
Right, right. Yeah. Well, I'm going to throw my fire department up against your fire department. You ready?
Set.
Set, go. The Covington Firefighters Fish Fry.
Uh-huh.
Right down there, what is that, Howe Street? I think Union Hall at Howe Street. They have a fish fry every Friday.
Uh-huh.
And I think it kicks off from 5 till whatever, I guess, until you leave.
Sounds like you're
But my good friend, huh? No, but I'm going to go down there. But my good friend, Dave Campson,
uh-huh.
We were talking about this the other day. I didn't know that he was down there helping out and frying fish. And I said, yeah, Ernie's always talking about the guys at, you know, Crescent Springs. I need some guys to brag on, so I'm headed down there this Friday, that's for sure.
Okay.
And like I said, good friend Dave Campson goes by the AKA nickname of Blockhead, which he's okay with. Now, how many guys, you know, like, hey, I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
But the fish fries, you know, keep that in mind. Support whoever's doing the fish fries.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'll go down there with you on Friday if you'll come up to the Crescent Springs Villa Hills Fire Department one time.
I will do that. You're on. And I think that's fair play.
Another one we have to go to is the Mycerian Shrine Temple. Brethren are doing one out at the temple on Fridays. We've got to make it out to that one.
Perfect. Perfect, perfect, perfect. Now, I understand not everybody buys the same kind of fish, do they? Now, I don't want that Vandy Camp stuff. It's in a box. It's don't bring that my way. It's got to be a good piece of fish, right?
Oh, yeah. Don't get all choked up over there. It's all great.
You're good, buddy. You're good.
you, You just don't want to show up and have Charlie, the tuna guy.
Yeah, there's, I want a good piece of fish, you know.
And, you know, to brag a little bit, there was one of the restaurants, and it might be McDonald's maybe, that the fish sandwich originated here, the tri-state there. It was early on in the franchise's history, and because of Lent, and a lot of Catholics were not going to eat hamburgers on Fridays.
Right.
That McDonald's owner was trying to introduce a pineapple sandwich to accommodate for that. And a guy, I'm hoping I'm get this right. I think up in Western Hills or in the Delhi area, I'll have to Google this for just a second, said, you know, I have most of my clients are Catholic. I need to serve fish. And he didn't want anything to do with it, so they made a little wager.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to introduce the pineapple sandwich during Lent on Friday. You introduce the fish sandwiches. Whoever sells more will, that's what we'll start doing. And the fish sandwiches sold incredibly well. The pineapple sandwich is not so much.
So it got to start here.
Got to start
locally
here.
In Cincinnati is what
yes.
you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
Are you sure?
I'm positive.
So I can quote you.
You can.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's all I need to know. You know, and if you, hey, if you call it the way you see it, if you don't see it, you typically make it up.
And you make it up.
All right.
Yeah. So get to your local fish fry, support your local fire department, your parish, and even your Syrian shrine temples, and Pride of Valley Masonic Lodge has one, too. So get out. They're great places to socialize and to see friends and support fundraisers. And you get to eat, too.
You get to eat, too. And maybe have a couple beverages.
Well, that's always
well, I can't do that on Friday night. I don't do that on Fridays. I really do not. I'm not coming in here feeling bad like you do all the time. It's just not happening. No, I'm kidding. I'm making that up. Uh-oh, Ernie, you're in trouble. You're in trouble.
749-B105. In and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. And when we come back, we're going to get you ready for our friend Jason from Herman Services coming in. We're going to talk about some things that a lot of people probably wish they already had, some sump pumps and some problems that are ways to fix water problems that are creeping up. In and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. We'll be right back.
Get back to In and Around the House with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. Call us at 749-B105.
Welcome back in and around the house with Tony Dirty, your local home and garden guys. And it is snowing out, snow flurries in the forecast, mixed with a lot of sunshine. And of course, this is not going to last long. So
I hope not.
No, it won't. It won't. So.
No, I don't like that. You know, a couple things going on. You know, the Home and Garden Show is taking place this weekend still. And a lot of great ideas down there. If you've yet to get down there, be sure to do so. Today's a perfect day to do it. I mean, look outside. What are you going to do later? You're not working outside. So you got to keep it inside, right?
That's right.
That's in and around the house right there.
Yeah.
You know, also, I don't know what's going on with the Crone, but that's another good place to take in.
Oh,
just
yeah.
Just enjoy the day. Yeah. Do something indoors. Something else I want to talk about, too. A couple of events that are coming up. Over in northern Kentucky, a couple events are really cool. One of them is the Ohio Valley Seed Swap. That's going to take place at the new Boone County Enrichment Center. And our good friend Vicki Tuis, she's in charge of this. And hopefully we can have her on the radio that day. It's April 8th, Saturday, from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. So a lot of guest speakers, a lot of seed swapping and different things with heirloom seeds. That is the Ohio Valley Seed Swap. That's going to be on Saturday, April 8th. So I'm trying to give you a little bit of forewarning here. Kind of write that in on your calendar. Save that date.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of cool stuff. And it's at the Boone County Enrichment Center.
Okay.
So that's going on. Also, go ahead.
Don't call me a goathead.
No, goathead, go ahead.
So you could, if I understand this correctly, a lot of people like to do seed starting for their garden.
Mm-hmm.
Is this a place where you could go to and pick up some things, or would it be too late to get them for seed starting this year?
No, not at all. Perfect timing. That's the whole thing of this seed swap. Everybody's sharing seed that they've collected and saved from last year.
Mm-hmm.
and you'll find some unique things, heirloom seeds. It's just a great time for everybody involved that enjoys doing that. People love the garden. People who love the garden, I should say, they like to share.
Mm-hmm.
That's the beauty of people who garden.
Yeah.
They're willing to share. And that's what this is about. So take that in. April 8th. You'll like that. Definitely fun. Also, April 5th at the Boone County Extension in Richmond Center as well. There's a special guest there, John Karloftis. And he's going to talk about gardening and so forth. And he's pretty renowned. He's known for a lot of the rooftop garden designs up in New York.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a fantastic
Kentucky guy, Kentucky kid.
Yeah.
But John Karloftis, April 5th, and that is from 6:30 to 7:30. Take that in. Mark that down on your calendar. And if anything's going on in your neck of the woods, feel free to drop us a line on our Facebook page. You can email us at inandaroundthehouse@b105.com. You can call us. Let us know what's going on in your neighborhood or if any of these events are taking place.
Mm-hmm.
Gardening related, okay? And if you're a business, don't call in and do that. It's gardening related stuff. Feel free to give us a yell.
And we're also interested in gathering information about upcoming farmers markets, too, later on in the season. We'd love to be able to alert and our listeners and friends about potentials where you could go pick up some fresh produce right from the truck.
That's you.
Yeah.
Who doesn't like produce? I love produce.
I love it.
Peaches, all that good stuff. You guys were talking about that peach truck the other day at the round table.
Yes. Guy drives up from Georgia loaded with peaches, and you get a chance to buy them right off of the truck. As a matter of fact, and we still have, that just reminded me, and I know my wife's listening, so I'm going to tell her that Tony is still waiting on his sauerkraut that she canned. And
you just reminded me because
she canned those peaches, and one of our grandsons, Gideon, just loves them, so... When he comes over, Mamaw gets...
You're holding out on me. Well, I will tell you what I did last Saturday when I left here. Uh-huh. I'm glad you brought up the sauerkraut deal. You know, it's cabbage. You can grow it. You can ferment it and do all that other good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a huge craze pushing with stuff like that. Fermented foods.
Mm-hmm.
Kimchi, you know, sauerkraut, you name it. Last Saturday, I was down at Finley Market, which I try my best to make it there on Saturdays. That's why I don't know if I'm going to go pick up my mower with you right after work.
Yeah,
I might go by the market.
Week. Yeah.
But are you familiar with the company called the Pickled Pig?
No, doesn't ring a bell.
I just read about it in an ad, or I saw an ad in an Ohio Edible, like, pamphlet magazine that comes out, I think, quarterly. I'm not really sure. But I picked up some fermented items from this guy at Finley. One of them was it was like pickled cauliflower, a curried cauliflower. They had a pickled dill sauerkraut,
mm-hmm.
and I did a Napa kimchi cabbage of some sort.
Okay.
Really good stuff. And it's supposed to be healthy for you because of the probiotics thing.
Right.
You know how a lot of people who take a lot of antibiotics... You destroy all the good bacteria in your stomach and intestinal linings. Well, this replenishes it, so it's very healthy.
These are professional biotics.
Professional biotics. Probiotics. Really good for you. So I'm throwing that out. It's a big craze. Yeah. A lot of people are starting to get into the fermenting of things, and that Lisa sauerkraut, I will attest, it's very good. You're very lucky to have her do that.
Well, I don't care for it. I mean, here's one of the things.
On a Reuben sandwich?
We were forced, growing up in a large family at that era and in that place, you ate what was served. And I never developed a taste for sauerkraut. And I could smell it as soon as I got close to the front door. And I was always just saying, I'll just have a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. It's the same thing. When Lisa and Sherry get together and start doing this at the house, as soon as I pull into the driveway, I can smell it, and it brings back those memories.
It's funny that, you know, how you talk about that smell.
Uh-huh.
Well, my friend, his wife, she does sauerkraut, and one day she came home, and she could smell it. Uh-huh. So one of the crocks had a crack in it.
Right.
And she went down to the basement, and it looked like Amityville Horror. All these flies were down there. And she wouldn't touch a thing. She tells my friend, you got to come down here. You got to take care of this. You got to get that out. Got to get that out. But you have a good thing there with Lisa and the sauerkraut. That's great stuff.
I will see that you get some.
Please.
749-B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. Need to pause for a moment, and we'll be right back. Welcome back in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. And we look outside. The weather outside is frightful. It makes me think of Christmas.
I can tell.
Yeah. What's going on down at the garden centers? This is the perfect time for you to get to the garden center and do a little shopping.
It is. You can check out what's going on at your local garden centers and nurseries throughout the tri-state area. I know that the selection of seed, you know, if you're into starting your own seed indoors, nothing more rewarding. And right now is the best selection. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not been that busy. Still a lot of good stuff there to choose from and get ready for the upcoming season.
Mm-hmm.
If you're looking for specialty kind of seeds and different things like that, heirloom seeds, you know, stop by your local garden centers and nurseries and pick that stuff up. Your seed starting supplies, get that stuff. You know, your special soils, you know, just for starting seed in. It's really nice and fine. It makes sowing seed, you know, a lot easier. The heat mats, the little trays, the six packs, all the peat pots, all that stuff that you need to be successful with seed starting is at your local garden centers and nurseries. Pick it up. Have fun. It's nothing more rewarding.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's the perfect opportunity for you to grab your friends, you know, get your family members together that also enjoy these things and go to the garden show or go to your locally owned, independently operated garden center. A lot of the garden centers and a lot of our local leaders are at the garden show this weekend. It runs through tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll get a chance to go down, walk around, gather up some new ideas, and get ready.
Right. No, it's I'm with you, Ernie.
You went last week, and mm-hmm. was there anything that new caught your eye?
Anything new that caught my eye?
That was my question.
Well, let me think about that because you just caught me off guard there. There was a company that was down at the Home and Garden Show. I can't remember the name. I wouldn't say that it was a new approach to fixing broken sewer lines to, you know, like leave your foundation or your home.
Mm-hmm.
It's a way to repair them from the inside and reline them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Gosh, I can't think of the name of that company, but I thought that was very interesting. You know, because we've had calls before in the past where people have had issues where they would talk about some of the tree roots getting into their, you know, their sewer lines that are exiting their home. And typically a lot of that has to do with some of the homes and how old they are. If they had those clay tiles, you know, over time as the ground moves and things settle, the clay is not that strong, and it doesn't hold up to the ground movement, and it cracks the clay tiles, the drain tiles, and that's when water starts getting out, and tree roots find that out, and they get closer and closer, and then all of a sudden, you know, they're in the clay tile, they're causing some disruption in the home, some backup. Then you call somebody like Herman Services that comes in. We'll ask Jason about this. I'm sure they have those camera units, and they go in there, and they see all those mm-hmm. tree roots. That's not a good situation to be in. But there was a company at the Home and Garden Show that repairs those liners on the inside. So I thought it was very, very interesting without digging, you know, without disrupting and tearing up the yard.
Yep. Is it going to be costly?
No matter how you look at it, it will be costly.
Yeah.
Yes. And if I can find out the name of that company, I will mention it. That's for sure.
749-B105 in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. We were talking a little bit earlier about our friends from Bud Herbert Motors. I did get a chance to get my motor or my mower over there.
Mm-hmm.
And if you jump onto our Facebook page, I can't wait till we get a chance to talk to Jim or John about this. This thing caught my eye, and I snapped a couple of photos. It is a John Deere ice cream making machine. And apparently this, and I have no idea how old it is, but it is so cool looking. Apparently back in the day, long before there was a Graters, Well, I guess Graders was just getting started, but they apparently would wheel this out and make their own homemade ice cream. Graders might have had one of these too at some point. But it is really nice, powered by John Deere, and it's right in the middle of their display case. But the point I also wanted to make, too, is now is the time to get your mowers to your shops. Other places like Bud Herbert Motors or our friends over at Crescent Springs Hardware, and give them a chance to work on it before the season.
And Danny Schwab.
Danny Schwab, definitely.
Yeah. Those guys, they're certified to work on power equipment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you have any steel power equipment, those are the three places. Not that there aren't others, but those are the three places I definitely would go to and can trust.
Mm-hmm.
But they do a wonderful job. And you have to have equipment that works properly. If it doesn't run worth a hoot, nothing more aggravating. And I can tell you, I've had some power equipment from other manufacturers that I would just get so frustrated, and I just want to throw that thing down and break it in a million pieces. But, you know, it just nothing more frustrating. So go to the professionals, like our friends over at Bud Herbert Motors,
mm-hmm.
Danny at Danny Schwab's, and the good guys over there at Crescent Springs. And you'll be glad that you did. Trust it with those guys, if anyone.
749-B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie. A couple of great ways to stay connected with us is our Facebook page. We were just talking about that. And you can email us in and around the house at B105.com.
And in a moment here, I think I found out the name of that company about that repairing those pipes. It's CME Services. I need to find out a little bit more information about that. But that was what caught my eye. I thought that was very, very interesting.
Mm-hmm. 749-B105. In and around the house with Tony and Ernie, our friend Jason Herman. Jason from Herman Services is coming in. And we're going to be talking about a couple of other things like sump pumps. All that severe weather that we've had in the past week. So much rainfall. Tornado or tornadic winds damaging. He's going to be able to answer some questions for you.
You know, did you, obviously you had a lot of winds out there in your neck of the woods.
Mm-hmm.
We did too in Taylor Mill. As a matter of fact, the only alarms that Tina and I were, aware of that woke us up in the middle of the night were our telephones, our cell phones.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what happened to that other big siren, but, yeah, I know it was kind of dangerous and you could hear those winds, whipping around, and early the one morning that they were talking about, like in Taylor Mill, Independence, and going south, you know, they'll tell you, oh, it's got that little echo, you know, the winds, it might be tornadic kind of activity.
Mm-hmm.
It was brutal. It was a little scary. A
lot of damage, and a lot of our first responders worked long hours, so we want to give them a tip of the hat and thank them for their service.
Right. Right.
Didn't have any tree damage. You know, we have that one great big old maple in our backyard again. And that thing has stood the test of time for a long time, because that's one of the first things that we check on when we have big winds like that is hopefully there's not a limb on the ground anywhere standing tall.
Or something protruding out from your rooftop. What about that?
Yeah.
You know?
Didn't see any of that in our area. I'm sure there were some people that had some tree damage in Villa Hills and in parts of Kenton County.
Well, yeah.
We didn't see it.
You know, our good friend Mike Clare, mm-hmm. former horticultural agent at Boone County, he had some tree damage. Some things were uprooted. It was pretty nasty.
Yeah.
That's the kind of stuff that don't take those things lightly. You know, if situations like that present themselves, always go down to the basement. You're sure to be safe there.
Yeah. Find a safe place. Stay there. Take a little portable radio with you.
I know one thing. I had a lot of, like tips off of our birch tree.
Mm-hmm.
Every year this time, I just spend. I could go out there and think I got everything up.
Yeah.
And I still look down. It's like, oh, there's more of you guys. I'm serious.
You know what that leads me to think, too, is when it does dry out and you can get on your lawn, rake up everything that happened to fall in there before you mow it, or you're going to create some damage to your mower. I can imagine that I'll get that little lecture when I get over to Bud Herbert, pick up my...
Was your blade mower nicked up?
That blade had a couple of little nicks in it from
really?
Debris. that I just didn't see until it's too late. And you hear that great chunk and go, I wonder what that was.
It shoots out the side. Puts a big dent in your car door. Like, oh, man, I'm not going to tell Lisa that.
So before you mow, get out and rake and clean all that up.
And make it, that's good advice right there.
Take things or make things last a lot longer on your equipment. 749-B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. We need to pause for a moment. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to In and Around the House with Tony and Ernie, your local home and gardening guys. If you're just getting up this morning, welcome and look outside because a little bit of the white stuff has been falling. And you might be a little careful on your drive into work if you're working this morning or if you're going anywhere as far as that goes. Roads might be a little bit of a little slick, but just be careful nonetheless. It's hard to believe that the weather we've been experiencing the past few weeks, and to look outside and see this now, it's like, whoa. It's like, put the brakes on. I don't want to see this stuff. We're ready to push forward and progress into the spring season. And before we went into the break, we did get a caller that called in to tell us the name of the sewer pipe repair company that I was trying to remember and mention to Ernie that I had seen at the Home and Garden Show that I thought was quite clever and a unique approach to repairing sewer lines, and that is CME Services. And here's their phone number, by the way, 513-672-8302. If you're having issues with sewer pipes, you know, around the home or backup issues, I'd give these guys a call, and even on their Facebook page, if you like them or mention them, they will do a free sewer analysis. Take a look at it. So give them a yell. If not, get down to the Home and Garden Center today, and that's at the Duke Energy Convention Center. Not much you're going to do outside, so you might as well go to the show and look for these guys and just check out their approach to repairing these sewer lines. I thought it was extremely clever. I've never seen anything like it.
Mm-hmm.
With minimal damage to the yard and tearing things up. Check it out.
749-B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie. Coming up in just a few minutes, Jason, our friend from Herman Services, is going to be in. And we're going to talk a little bit about some of the issues you may have had because of the severe weather. I bet those guys were busy. I can only imagine how many calls they got for water in the basement, or maybe my sump pump didn't come on.
And probably the sump pump issue, yeah. I would have to say, because I had a few issues with ours. And when Jason gets in here and settled in,
yeah,
I'm gonna pick his brain. Actually, I'm probably gonna have to have him stop by and take a look at it and fix it or replace it. I don't know, but that's certainly something that you can't let occur and continue to happen time after time, because you know what some of the rains are like around here in the Cincinnati area.
Mm-hmm.
Before you know it, you have a basement full of water, and that's not good.
Yeah. No one needs a basement full of water.
No, and you know firsthand.
I do. 749-B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie. And I can tell you that one of the best solutions we had the King family, Ronnie and Ron and Donnie, come over and check some things out. And they convinced us we needed some drains in the back part of the yard. So we poured the patio, put the extra drains in there. We have not had a drop in the house since, so that's been fantastic.
So was that like getting the water away, like a French drain, or what was it that your friends did?
Well, I'm not really sure what the French drain is, but what we did is install three drains in the backyard where we put the extended patio. That any catches any water that comes off of those hills in the back behind us,
right,
and gets it directly into the storm sewer before it gets close to the house. That was the key.
Yeah, a lot of times, you know, homeowners will not properly grade the soil away from their homes. Or, you know, if homeowners aren't watering during the summer months when it gets really dry, that clay shrinks and all of a sudden the soil collapses a little bit around the foundation, and all of a sudden you might have a crack in the foundation or some voids where water gets down into it.
You know, with the weather turning like it has right now with the snowfall, Amanda Valentine, who's on here at B105 with Amanda and Jesse, asked me in the little kitchen area yesterday. She goes, "It's crazy weather out here." Because I just don't know, is this going to kill the plants that are already popping up in my yard? And I'm going to give you the opportunity to respond to that with a lot of questions that people have. Everything's blooming. We have tulips. We have crocuses. What's going to happen?
Usually, no. Those types of plants are very resilient, and Mother Nature can pretty well look after herself without any heroic intervention on our part as homeowners. Thing of it is, what you will lose for the most part is perhaps blooms. Or like when we're talking about fruit trees a few weeks ago with David Kester from Boone County, a lot of those trees that where the buds were starting to develop, you know, the bloom buds that gives us the fruit set. Typically, when you dip down into the 20s or freezing temperatures, it does have a repercussion. I mean, it does affect the amount of blooms that you get in the fruit set, actually. So not that it will kill the tree or any of the plants that are exposed to these kind of fluctuations in weather. Just allow Mother Nature to do her thing. Don't do anything heroic, Ernie.
Yeah, don't build anything
over top. Don't get the hair dryers out. Don't build anything over top of something.
Yeah, the thing that Lisa and I hate the most is that when we have that beautiful magnolia tree in the front of our house. It has blooms the size of my hand. They're gorgeous. They're fragrant. We love them.
Well, those aren't very big blooms.
But
you got like tiny hands.
I should have said my head.
That's a big bloom right there.
That I'm afraid now we're going to lose those. They've popped just a little bit. There's a little bit of a bud there. You think the buds are going to survive?
You never know. I mean, it's just magnolias in particular. They're one of the early bloomers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, of shrubs, trees. They are more vulnerable. You know, this is the type of stuff that will be a setback in that spring show that they're capable of giving us with those beautiful blooms.
Yeah.
And really, it's a time factor. You know, time will tell. A lot of times if things are protected in an area up close to a home, that's beneficial. But not everything's like that. So, you know, it's just a wait and see game. Unfortunately,
so.
Ernie.
Yeah, I hope they haven't killed the blooms yet because of the snow, but we'll check.
A lot of times it is freeze out. It's what happens.
Yeah. 749-B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. Our friend Jason from Herman Services is here. We're going to get him settled in, and when we come back, we're going to start solving some of the issues you may have had because of the severe storms. We'll be right back. Welcome back in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. Snow out today, and it looks like that it's starting to accumulate a little bit. I just saw on Facebook a friend of mine post that there are some road closings out on Taylor Mill due to accidents, and Jason, our friend from Herman Services, arrived, and so the roads are a little slippery out there,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah, they're a little slippery, and if you're going south, 75 at the bridge looks like it's completely closed down, and going through the tunnel and up 71 to get here was pretty much a standstill, too.
Wow. Well, thank you so much for, I overheard you telling Tony that once you realized that this is what was happening outside, that you may be seeing some traffic issues, you got up early and made your way in. And thank you for doing that. But we were talking about this before you got here. Herman Services provides so many different things for homeowners. And with the weather that has been just rocking the city for the last couple of weeks, you guys must be very
flooded with calls. No pun intended. I shouldn't say that.
That is that's a good one. So, everybody at Herman Services has been they've been working a lot of hours the last few days. I know as of when I left last night, we still had people with water in their basements and water heaters that couldn't be relit and stuff like that. As of when I left last night, that they're still doing calls today trying to get people cleaned up.
Well, thank you for providing that service for all of our friends and our listeners. And let's give some contact information as if you don't need more business. But let's get some contact information out there for you.
You can always look us up online. We're Herman Services with two R's and two N's. And our phone number is 737-8423. And it actually spells the word service, 513-SERVICE.
Nice.
I was thinking about you the other day because we have a sump pump that's at the garden center down in one of the old basements, and it's not shutting off. So I guess that float, there's a float mechanism there that will automatically shut it off when it needs to shut off.
Yeah, there's all sump pumps in that, or
right.
or pumps in that situation. They have some kind of float system,
mm-hmm.
and that's usually the thing that goes bad is the actual switch that turns it on and off. So you're in the lucky stage that it's stuck on, not stuck off.
Oh yeah, you're right.
But it will burn up. And
why didn't unplug it? So now it looks like if we get more rain down the road or in the future, I'm going to have to get under in the water and plug it in.
Yeah,
that's safe.
It's probably time to replace the pump. So it's definitely time. It's, you know, I don't know what's in that basement, but if anybody has that happen in their home, I would always tell them, you know, when it starts to act up,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's giving you a nice warning that it's time to replace it.
Why don't you do that for me? I'm serious. Can I call you, or I need to call the office?
I can put it in. They have them give you a call. I can get all your information and call you Monday morning. And
yeah, I need to get that fixed. That's not good. But yeah, we just had that problem the other day. And I thought about you, as a matter of fact, and then Ernie was talking about, you know, all the water that everyone's been having, you know, as a result of all that rain. I mean, it's like the rains today aren't like what they used to be when I was a kid. It's all or none. At once. I mean, it's...
And on top of that, the ground was already saturated.
Right.
So, you know, it's not like the ground can absorb all that water. So it just, you know, it's got to go somewhere. And water always takes the easiest path. And if the easiest path is your basement, then that's where
and
it's
going. That's where
go.
It's going.
The road of least resistance.
that's exactly the way water works. Yeah.
That's earnings highway, right? I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I tell you, it was one of the best things we did was to figure out where that was all that all was coming from. When that storm started, I still have this fear of it coming into the house. But I always send a text to my wife, Lisa, or even call her. Please go downstairs and check and make sure that it's not started. And we haven't had a drop since we fixed that issue.
You
in
better
the back.
Quit bragging about that.
Well, there's not enough wood in here to knock on.
Yeah.
Isn't that the truth? But one of the things that Tony was just asking about the sump pump,
mm-hmm.
do you find yourself when people have persistent water problems having a difficult time to convince them that you need to put a sump pump in here in order to get that water out?
A lot of times we run into where if somebody has a specific problem,
mm-hmm.
We can install a sump pump to take care of that. But more than that, a lot of times they need to get a waterproofing company come in. And there's one or two ways that they attack it with a basement like that. They'll either break up around the interior
mm-hmm.
and install a sump pump and drainage to get that water out.
Yeah.
Or they dig around the outside of the foundation, which is, in my opinion, probably the better way to go, and reseal the foundation and put drainage mm-hmm. in at that time.
So the idea is to stop it before it gets into the house.
Oh, yeah.
And get it away from the house.
Yeah, because putting the sump pump in the basement, if you were trying to get ground, you know, there's so many different applications.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're trying to get groundwater out from underneath, say if there's cracks in your basement floor and it rains and water's coming up through the cracks, you're building up hydrostatic pressure. So in that case, you would put a sump crock in and you would have a perforated sump crock and you'd put gravel around it and it would relieve that pressure of the water underneath the house.
Mm-hmm.
As far as waterproofing, they actually put drain tile around the walls and then put that into the sump crock and then you pump it out that way. So you're not really trying to catch the water that's on the surface with a sump pump.
Mm-hmm.
You're trying to stop it from getting anything wet so it stays dry.
Very good. Yeah, it just seems to me that we have, Tony and I were talking about how we're trying to get back to nature in our approach to lawn care and fewer chemical issues or fewer chemical treatments to lawn. Sump pumps to me seem the same thing. I grew up in a house with a sump pump.
Mm-hmm.
And we always knew when something, a storm was coming because we had these doors that went to the basement that eventually my father blocked in. But before he did that, water always made its way into there and you could hear the sump pump kick on.
Oh, yeah.
It seems like an old school solution mm-hmm. to problems today, which the old tried and true method is the sump pump.
Oh yeah, it's actually when I have a sump pump at home and down in the basement because at one time the basement leaked, and that's actually a good sound to hear when I hear that thump of that sump pump going. And what that is that's the actual check valve closing after its cycle. Mm-hmm. And I like hearing that noise because I know it's working.
That's right.
If I hear that noise. So, you know, and a lot of people that have had flooded basements and stuff like that, they know that that noise is a good noise.
Mm-hmm.
And other people, it really annoys them. It depends on where that sump pump's located.
Sure.
But we also have some quieter check valves that they don't make as loud of a thump, and we can eliminate that noise a little bit if it's really bothering.
Yeah, there is certainly they've been upgraded over the years, so they're obviously more efficient and quieter and less disruptive to the entire household. Because the house that I grew up in, you could hear that baby kick on.
Oh yeah, they're pretty quiet now. And speaking of advancement, we have so many different, there's a lot of different options and backup systems and that would use a battery. So if you lost power or whatever else, it would take care of it. And now those battery systems, they're starting to come out where they hook up to Wi-Fi. So you can, you know, say if you were out of town, you can actually cycle that backup system, and it tells you that it's working, and you can set it up on a schedule where it runs once a month to make sure that everything's working, everything's doing what it's supposed to, the battery's charged to the specific level that it is. So it's like everything else. It's all starting to go where it hooks up to Wi-Fi.
Ah, and that's got to be a level of confidence, knowing that you are aware whether or not it's going to work or it is working.
Yeah, usually the people that are interested in that are people that just had a lot of damage done with their basement being flooded, or somebody that travels a lot, something like that, where they really worry about it when they're not home.
And the lesson there is, don't let what could be perceived as an old school solution stop you from making the right decision.
Oh, yeah. If somebody has, if you have a lot of money invested into your basement, I would suggest a battery backup system be installed on top of your sump pump. Basically, we now we have a package where it's the primary pump and the secondary battery-operated pump, where they all go in together. There's a control panel that runs everything. If the primary pump fails for any reason, be it power or the pump itself has an issue, then that battery backup will come on. It'll sound alarm to let you know. The Wi-Fi models will actually send you an email to tell you that something's going on.
Wow, that's an important feature, because a lot of people had power outages.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Oh, so, yeah.
It's
749-B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. We're talking to our friend Jason from Herman Services. It's important for our homeowners to recognize, too, if they have water in the basement, when we come back from the break, I want to have you touch on how important it is to get the right professional assessment of the damage so that you don't create more issues. In and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. Need to pause for a moment. We'll be right back. Welcome back in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. Our friend Jason from Herman Services has joined us this morning. We're talking about a lot of the severe storm damage that people have suffered, got water in their basement or damage to their home. And we have a lot of questions for Jason, so we asked him to slip in just a little earlier this morning. And before we went to the break, I was going to ask you how important it is to get the right assessment to damage in your house. When we see problems where water comes into the basement, the first thing that a lot of people are concerned about is just getting the water out, but damage is suffered following that too.
Depending on what got wet and how much got wet, it is really important to have somebody look at it. We run into it. There's safety issues with the water heater. There's safety issues with the furnace, a lot of people's, their dryers in their basement or any electrical appliance. With a water heater, if the gas valve was underwater, you're pretty much going to have to replace the water heater. And the same goes true with the furnace. And there's also insulation in the furnace, and some of the electrical components are in the bottom of the furnace. So if those things got wet, you're looking at replacing equipment. As far as the overall structure of the basement, it depends on the kind of water that came up. If it was rainwater and a cleaner water that's in there, a lot of times all that can be dried out. If it was sewage, then pretty much everything the sewage water touched needs to be replaced.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
If it's, you know, if it's walls, if it's wood cabinets that got wet or whatever else, most of that stuff needs to be thrown out. I would always suggest if somebody had a major amount of water to come down into their basement, that they get a water cleanup company to come in. We use a company called 1-800-WATER-DAMAGE. There's other companies out there. Those companies are good at dealing with your insurance, too. They know the right things to say to the insurance and everything else to make sure that you get covered on these kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
But the worst, or some of the worst things I see, is somebody will have a lot of water in there and thinking that they're okay to just run some fans down into the basement and get it all cleaned up. And yeah, it dries it out, but then 6 months, 8 months later, a year down the road, you get this moldy smell.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's the sign that you're starting to build up mildew and mold. Your furnace, you know, say if it was your furnace and that's happening inside your furnace, now you're blowing that air through your entire house. And especially in our area where, you know, there's so many people that have asthma conditions and stuff like that.
Well,
it's really, really bad.
We were talking about a couple of different things when we were at break, and I want to ask you to repeat them. Things that I just didn't really take into consideration, and we'll start since you mentioned the furnace. If the furnace gets wet to a certain point, backtrack just a little bit and reshare that information.
Like with a furnace or a water heater, it's, you know, we use it as if the gas valve got wet.
Mm-hmm.
And if the gas valve got wet, it's time. It's definitely, you're 99% sure that you're going to have to replace this.
Okay.
Like with a boiler, it's not so bad because, you know, that air's not being blown out through the house. But if a gas valve, especially in the newer furnaces, if the water got up to the point where the gas valve's in the water, then, you know, the whole bottom half of the furnace. So you've already lost the blower. There's circuit boards, control boards. There's probably motors inside that are all at that level of that gas valve. So you basically ruined every component inside the furnace.
Mm-hmm.
And on top of that, even if you were to replace all those components, the insulation inside of the furnace has gotten water in it. If it was... If there was any chance there was sewage in it, then replace it. You know, but if it was clean water, you know, you still have that aspect where if it's not completely dried out and sanitized, you're going to be putting that air throughout the rest of the house. With a water heater, if the gas valve gets wet, it's time to replace it, unless maybe that gas water heater was a couple years old and you could maybe replace the gas valve.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times we'll go back to the manufacturer and ask them, and they'll tell you to replace it or it voids the warranty if it's under a certain year. So you kind of have a little bit of leeway there, but for the most part, I would say if your gas valve gets wet, you're going to be replacing that piece of equipment.
Is that why it's important for your furnace and for your water heater? I noticed that they all sit up at least a couple of inches off of the floor. On the blocks or bricks?
They do at your house, but they don't everywhere we go.
Really?
So that's not, it was more common in the past, but they don't even put legs on water heaters anymore. They generally sit flat on the floor now. And, you know, in this case where we dealt with this week, it really didn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we had houses where we've dealt with them in the past where they're common flood areas, and we had water heaters sitting up on 18-inch shelves, 18 inches up the ground, and the water got up 2.5 feet this time, and it still ruined the water heater.
Right.
So, you know, it's in the case like we had this time, you know, a couple bricks underneath it wouldn't have helped it anyways, but that's not as common as it used to be anyways.
That's fascinating because I always think of that, you know, if you happen to visit someone or, you know, go down to their basement, that's where, especially man caves, when you go to visit a friend, they want to show you the whole man cave, the whole basement. And I always seem to take notice of that I'll look at the furnace or look at the water heater. And if it's, because I have seen that before where the water heater is right on the floor.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's nice to have it on bricks, especially a lot of times there's a floor drain right there by the furnace and water heater.
Right.
And if you have a main sewer stoppage, like if you got roots in your sewer on the street or something like that, you know, you don't get 2 feet of water in your basement from that because you just stop using the water and it stops the problem. But that'll protect the bottom of that furnace and the bottom of that water heater from getting any kind of sewage in it where you would have a problem in the future.
Well, I heeded your advice. The last time you were in, we talked a little bit about the project that I have going on in my basement. And you also talked about the importance of draining and cleaning water heaters, which I think we need to touch base on again. And when I had to replace that water heater, I made sure that I had a pan underneath it that had a drainage spot. And had it have it set up on a couple of bricks so that when I do go to drain that to clean the sediment out, and I want you to touch on that when we come back for the break here in just a second to make the ease of draining that a little bit simpler for me, because I'm not the most qualified person to be doing some of those things. We do need to pause for a minute. We have our friend Jason from Herman Services with us in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. When we come back, I'm going to ask him to answer some of those questions for me. We'll be right back. Welcome back in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. And we have our friend Jason from Herman Services in with us tonight today. And the weather has changed things dramatically. As a matter of fact, our producer, John, has just sent me a picture. Is that 75 North?
South
at Buttermilk apparently is closed or blocked. I can't read that. So it is, it travel is awful. Jason pointed out that backups everywhere closed on Taylor Mill and on South 75. What is that, John? Use your young eyes. What does that say? Turn the microphone on and up on here.
7175 South at Buttermilk is closed due to an accident involving multiple semis. So if you're headed south, northern Kentucky, I'm sorry, but you're going to be stuck for a little while.
Okay, thank you so much. So we'll get a complete update on that a little bit later on. Traveling is dangerous, treacherous, and this unexpected snow has caused some problems. Just like the storms have caused a great deal of problems as well. And so when we were talking before we went into the break, when I had to replace or needed to replace the water heater, I took your advice the last time you were here and elevated it up, put it on a couple of bricks and put it inside a pan. I'd like you to have you touch base about how important it is to maintain your water heater.
Oh, and it's a good point, because usually we suggest that people do the maintenance on their, do general maintenance of their house at the same time as the clocks change, which is in a couple of weeks. But as far as draining some water or servicing your water heater, basically all you need is maybe a 5 gallon bucket and a short hose. And you hook a hose up to the drain valve on the bottom of the water heater. Hopefully you have a nice, good working drain valve. You drain out about 5 gallons of water. You try to get that thing open full bore.
Right.
And it'll get the sediment that's building up in the bottom of the water heater out. And if you do it on a regular basis, the sediment stays small and it goes nice and smooth and easy. And you drain 5 gallons of water out, dump it down the sink or the floor drain or whatever else, and you're good to go. If you're lucky enough to have a floor drain close, you don't even need the 5 gallon bucket. Just run the hose into the floor drain, let it run for three to five minutes, and that'll get all that sediment out of there, and it'll greatly increase the life of your water heater.
I love that. That's the important thing. That's what I wanted to hear, because when I put that in, I thought, okay, I want to make sure that I do this properly, since you pointed out how important it was. So I put the drain pan in, and while I was doing a remodeling part of the basement, I dug out a trench to put a drain right next to this thing.
Oh, that's a great idea.
and did the part of it where it comes right where that sits, it will go into the drain and then out of the house when I, you know, do have to drain it, or when I do have to maintain it, as you just said.
You've left yourself no excuses not to service.
That's exactly right. All too often, we think, oh, the water heater's fine, and you just, as long as it's working, you never think about it.
If you don't do anything to your water heater in our area with the water that we have, you should get anywhere from 10 to 15 years out mm-hmm. of it. If you do regular maintenance to it, like just draining out some water, you can easily make that water heater last probably 20 years. If you go a step further and replace there's an anode rod that goes down from the top of the water heater.
Mm-hmm.
If you were to replace that anode rod every 3 to 5 years, you could make that water heater last indefinitely. The anode rod is a sacrificial piece of metal that goes down in from the top of the water heater. And it allows all the aggressive things in the water to eat it away instead of the inside of your tank.
Mm-hmm. And one more thing before we move off the water heater, venting a gas water heater, extremely important.
With the venting of a gas? Yeah. Yes. If you're looking at the top of the water heater and you're getting any kind of black sediment up there, or if you notice, usually on the top of the water heater where the vent is, the two water lines are right next to it.
Mm-hmm.
If there's any burning or charred marks on the sides of on those pipes next to the flue, or if you're seeing a big brown spot at the bottom of the water heater where the burn chamber is,
mm-hmm.
You need to get that checked out. There's a reason, you know, that water heater is not venting properly, and there's a reason.
Ooh.
I think last time I was here, we had a caller call in, and their water heater was orphaned,
mm-hmm.
Where it was, you know, it had its small 3-inch flue, and it used to be connected with the large 8-inch flue of the furnace, and then the two of them would make the chimney work together.
Right.
But when that furnace was removed, now that water heater could no longer vent. When that happens, the chimney doesn't get hot enough, the flue gases spill out into the basement, and you take a chance for carbon monoxide. You know, if something flammable would get laid on top of that water heater, you take a chance for a fire. Also.
Sure, sure. All right, great news here. 749-B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. And we have Jason, our friend from Herman Services, with us this morning. And 531 service?
513 service.
513 service. Where did I get 531? And that's not even in the right zip code or area code.
You're right, zip code.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. It is snowing outside. We mentioned earlier there are traffic delays and closings everywhere. Plan accordingly. Pack your patience. If you're planning to come down to the Home and Garden Show going on at the Duke Energy Center, you might want to try to find an alternate route other than thinking you just run right down 75 and jump off the exit.
Mm-hmm.
Plan ahead of time. And come on down. It's a great show. You can get a lot of information, check out some new products, and enjoy the day, but leave early. We have Carol on the line, Jason from Villa Hills, who has a water heater question for you. And when we come back, we will talk to Carol. I guess he's got some similar issues. We need to pause for a moment. We have Jason from Herman Services with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. If you're in the driver's seat of your car, you're probably going to be there. If you're out and about, have some very serious delays and closures. So pack your patience, just slow down, and hopefully we can get you where you need to be. We have Jason from Herman Services with us, and we have Carol from Villa Hills, who has a question about her water heater. Carol, thanks for holding on. What's going on with it?
Oh, good morning. I just have a further question, twofold question about the draining. My water heater is around maybe 6, 7, maybe 8 years old. I've never drained it, and I don't know now if I do more damage. I've heard that after time, it's better to let things go than to try and drain it now. So that was my one question. And the second question is, if I drain it, am I supposed to turn off the pilot light?
All right. The answer to your first question is whoever gave you that information that as time goes on and if you haven't done it, it could cause more damage. And actually, that depending on your water, that could be true. It would depend on how big the sediment is in there. And basically what could happen is the sediment could clog up the drain valve as it's draining and make it so that your drain valve leaked and wouldn't shut off all the way. If you got a small hose that you're using to do this, if that were to happen, you could just put that hose in the drain and at that point have a plumber come and we can replace that valve in the bottom of the water heater. If you wanted to be sure, then we could you know, you could have a plumber come out and he could do it. He could do it for you, show you how it's done and make sure it's working correctly. And if that valve fails, he can go ahead and replace it while he's there. As far as turning off the pilot light, you don't have to turn off the pilot light. You don't want to turn the water off. You're just draining. You're not really draining. You're flushing. So you're flushing some water out of the bottom of your water heater through the drain valve.
Right.
So I would say you know, as long as you got a drain close by, if for some reason that valve wouldn't shut back off, you should be fine. You'll have, you know, you can make a phone call, have somebody come out and replace it. If it was really, really bad, then shut off the water to the water heater and call somebody and tell them to hurry up and get out there. It's not something that I would do at 10 or 11 o'clock at night. Make sure you do it during the day. Why somebody's,
right. Yeah. Okay, you're fading out a little bit, and I couldn't quite hear you. Were you saying that if the drain hole becomes clogged, I would just need to replace that or the whole water heater?
You could replace just the valve itself.
Oh, okay.
So it actually threads into the water heater, and it can be replaced.
Oh, okay. Okay, well, maybe I'll go ahead and give that a whirl then.
All right, good luck, Carol.
Thank you.
Thanks for the call. Now we have Jim on the line from Owensville. Jim, thanks for hanging on. Jim has a sump pump question for you, Jason. What's going on with your sump pump, Jim?
Hey, well, it's not a problem with my sump pump. I've just got a question. I've had the battery back up in my house before, and it ran one time, and it paid for itself, so to speak.
Yeah.
And they've come out with new ones now that hitch up directly to your water line that comes into your house. And I've spoken with a plumber before, and he said this is the way to go. No batteries, no motors, no nothing. It hitches up directly to your water line, and as long as you've got 60 pounds of pressure coming into your house, when that float on this piece comes up, it opens the valve in your sump pump, and water from your water line gushes in. Now, this is coming from an idiot, so I'm explaining it to you as easy as I can. Water comes in from your house line, and it goes up through and out. And for every gallon that comes into your house from your water line, 2 gallons of your water out of your sump pump goes out also. It kind of creates a suction or something like that.
It's a Venturi.
And they said, as long as you have water pressure in your house, that thing will run from now till doomsday.
Mm-hmm. I'm familiar with the products. There's a few different companies that make them.
Uh-huh.
Our company don't necessarily suggest them.
Uh-huh.
But they do work, and I know they work. You're correct that you need 60 pounds of pressure. You also need a 3/4 water line running over to the sump crock. And then the discharge from that pump has to be done to where it runs up and out and does not tie into the discharge of your primary sump pump until it's flowing by gravity. And the reason for that is a lot of times a pump will fail because a check valve actually fails. If a check valve failed on your primary pump and this was piped in incorrectly, it will pump water out of the pit, but if the check valve's failed, it just pumps it right back down into the pit.
Yeah.
So now you're adding water to the problem rather than taking it away.
Pumping it out.
And what we found, and one of the reasons we don't generally suggest them with our company is if they're installed improperly, then they cause more problems than they help. If they're installed correctly, then usually the cost exceeds what the battery backup would.
Right.
And a lot of times there's no way to install them correctly.
Okay.
But if installed correctly, they are a very good working valve and they do the job.
Yeah. And the check valve, if it's brand new, which I've heard of that, it's brand new, so you just got to kind of keep an eye on that, too, I guess.
Well, you want to avoid having that check valve becoming an issue. It needs to be installed correctly so that check valve is never an issue. So it needs to run, basically it needs a second hole drilled through the outside of the house so it can be discharged separately from the other line.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to throw that out there. I appreciate your time.
No problem. Yeah. They're good products.
Yeah.
Thanks, Jim. Thanks for listening, and thanks for the call.
Okay, love your guys' show. Talk to you.
Thank you. 749-B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. We have Jason from Herman Services with us, and we've been answering a lot of questions. We've got some more things to try to reach in just a second, but we do need to take a break. In and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. We'll be right back. Welcome back in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. And we have our friend Jason from Herman Services with us. So we've talked a lot about the water damage that people have suffered over the last couple of weeks because of the storms, and talked quite a bit about sump pumps, and there is a maintenance season for those.
Usually we start maintenance in March. The mm-hmm. weather this week got us by about a day.
Right.
But usually when we do a checkup on a sump pump or a small inspection, for just a crock with one single pump in it, when you can do this maintenance yourself, but it's important to open up the lid if it has a lid. Look down in there and make sure that there's not a lot of debris in there. You'll get gravel from the lines that come into it or whatever else. So, run the pump, make sure it runs, drain as much water out of it as you can and clean it put some gloves on and get everything you can out of there and make sure it's clean. If there's anything floating in there, it definitely needs to come out. All those types of things, anything that's foreign that's inside that pit could get in the way of the switch and make the switch not come on, on off. That's the most common problem. The other problem is it could get into the pump and jam the pump up. So that needs to be done. And then you need to dump a couple buckets of water in there and make it turn on without actually touching the switch. So it could be 2 5-gallon buckets. It could be 4 5-gallon buckets to get that thing to turn on.
Okay.
Generally, it should turn on before the entire pump's underwater. But you want to make sure that it comes on and off without actually touching anything, just by dumping a bucket of water in it or a few buckets of water in it, depending on what it takes.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a battery backup system, you want to unplug the primary pump and then run water in there till the battery backup system comes on. Make sure that alarm is sounding. And then after you're done, make sure that you don't forget to plug your primary pump back in. So that's the most common problem that we have when people service a battery backup system themselves. They forget to plug things back in. And then as far as the battery itself goes, if you're comfortable doing it and you have the tools necessary, you want to check the voltage on that battery and make sure that it does have between 12 and 14 volts. And then if the battery is, I would say if those deep cell batteries are older than 3 years old, then I would replace them, and I would replace them with a maintenance-free gel cell battery.
Okay.
You can get them at most battery supply places like AutoZone or whatever else, or a specific battery store.
Mm-hmm.
If you take the one you have with you, they should be able to match it up and give you what you need. So, but I would ask for gel cell maintenance-free. Because nobody goes down every 3 or 4 months and checks that battery to make sure.
One of those things you need to put on your list when you change the clocks and the fire detectors.
Drain your water heater.
Put that on that list as
furnace,
a homeowner.
Furnace filter, change your batteries and your smoke detectors, and now carbon monoxide detectors. Change your clocks back, drain your water heater, check your sump pump. And then after that, you go outside and make sure the gutters are clean and none of your drains have leaves on them. So it makes for a nice full day.
It does. But, the peace of mind is so valuable.
Well, with the flooding that we had this week, a lot of it was easily preventable. We had a lot of people with stairwell drains that they had leaves down in the stairwell, and the leaves covered up the drain. There was nothing wrong with the drain, but then the stairwell filled with water. The water came through the door, in some cases ruined the door, in some cases ruined some stuff in the basement.
Yeah.
The worst case scenario was all that water comes through the door, goes into the basement, and then the floor drain stopped up.
Sure.
And then the problems just compound on top of each other, and it all went back to somebody just having to clean out the leaves out of their stairway drain.
Right.
A lot of people have deep driveways where it's a downhill driveway going to a drain. You have all that surface area, and all that water goes down there, and it pushes all those leaves and everything on the drain, and then you run in the same scenario.
I think that's what surprises me most is how that surface area of the driveway, because you accurately described all of the traps at my house. We have the back stairwell that comes down into the basement, and we have a steep driveway that descends down into the garage. And when it starts to rain, it is amazing how much water can get collected by that driveway and start rushing toward the door.
I used to have some math, like a paper to figure out, to calculate all that out.
Right.
And it's when you start adding surface area, like, you know, say 40 foot wide by 80 foot long, you're into a lot of water.
Sure.
I mean, and really quick. So it is important in that case that, yeah, you got to keep that drain open all the time. You got to make sure that there's no garbage down in there, yep. no leaves, everything else. You got to keep that driveway clean.
That is one of the things that we do quite often. My wife Lisa and I, when we do our yard cleanup, we will hose down that entire driveway to make sure there isn't any debris caught in the little crevices on the side between the rock wall and the driveway. And then shovel out anything that collects from the bottom where that first drain is. And it's a good thing is there's a drain there that goes into the storm sewer. There's another drain inside the garage that goes to a different source. So we're sort of doubly protected there.
Oh, yeah, that's, you know, you live in an older house and they build them a lot better back then. Mm-hmm. And they thought about these things that would happen in the future and took care of them right away.
Right. 749-B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. We've had our friend Jason here with us. We've got a few more minutes to spend with him to answer some more questions about some of the water damage and how to prevent that in the coming years. And we also want to remind you that traffic issues are everywhere. Some thoroughfares are closed because of accidents. Do pack your patience and plan accordingly if you are coming downtown. For the home and garden show, you might want to try an alternate route to get there and leave a little earlier, plan ahead, because the snowfall has caught everyone off guard. I don't think anyone was expecting that it would accumulate this quickly and cause this many problems. We need to pause for a moment in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. When we come back, we have more questions for Jason from Herman Services. We'll be right back. Welcome back in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. We have our friend Jason from Herman Services with us, and we've been talking a lot about the damage and a way to prevent water damage by simple maintenance and a couple of other things you wanted to touch on this morning.
A big one I want to touch on, and it doesn't seem like it pertains to today as cold as it is, but in the coming weeks, people are going to be starting to use their hose faucets again.
Mm-hmm.
We did have a cold enough winter that there are frozen hose faucets out there. And I always suggest to people to use like a two-person method when they first start using their hose faucets at the beginning of the year. Have one person outside to turn the faucet on, hook up the hose, have a sprayer on it. And have somebody downstairs in the basement or wherever the other end, the inside end of that hose faucet is, to make sure that when you're using this faucet, you don't have water pouring out of the wall. So we run into it every spring where somebody, you know, it's Sunday, it's beautiful out, it's 70 degrees, they get the hose out, they wash 2, 3, 4 cars, squirting down the driveways like you and your wife do, the front porch, the sidewalks, getting rid of all that salt and just doing all this great work outside. And they finish up at the end of the day and they walk down to the basement at 6-7 o'clock at night and they've got water everywhere. So basically what happened is the frost-free hose faucet, which we call frost-resistant, had a split in it from freezing over the winter. And, you know, they were getting plenty of water when they were outside, but at the same time, that water was leaking in the basement or inside the wall and doing as much damage as it possibly could in somebody's house. And really, if you have two people, or even if you're by yourself, turn the water on, put a sprayer on the end of it, have it in the off position, go down in the basement, walk around, make sure that there's no damage being done. Yeah. So if you don't see any damage in the first couple of minutes, odds are you're good to go. But taking that few extra minutes could save you a whole lot of grief at the end of the day.
Yeah, I think that's solid advice, getting somebody to sort of pay attention, because there's nothing worse than assuming.
Yeah, like I said, right. Even if you don't have two people.
Yeah.
you know, walk down there after a few minutes. I mean, if you catch it after 2 or 3 minutes of water running, and there's going to be a lot less cleanup.
Sure. And
like I said, an all-day event of using water outside.
And last time you were here, you talked about something, too, that's very important to know, where your water shutoff is in the house.
Everyone needs to know where their water shutoff is. It's usually on the front wall of the house. If you have a meter in the basement, it's really easy to find. There should be a valve and then a meter and then another valve after the meter. If you don't have a meter, it might just have some kind of valve there. It's a good idea to know where it is, and it's also a good idea to make sure it works. You know, it's one of them things where shut it off and run some water and make sure that it actually shuts your water off.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that's very important to know where it is. If there's an emergency, you want to know where it is. You want to know that it works, and you don't want to be stuck in a position where you have an emergency and there's absolutely nothing you can do. Even though we do emergency services, you know, if you were to call us at nighttime, something like that, you know, if you can't get that water shut off, it takes us time to get there. It's, mm-hmm. we don't live next door.
Right.
So, you know, an hour of water running, say if it was a full break, you know, you're talking anywhere from 7 to 12 gallons a minute dumping out, depending on where that's happening, you know, that can do a lot of damage really, really fast.
Good, solid advice. Make sure you take the time to just do a little research and make sure someone else knows, too, because there's nothing worse than having an emergency like that and then yelling for one of the children to go shut the water off.
I've been in a situation before in the past where I was at a homeowner's house and I touched something, and as soon as I touched it, it snapped. And I was on the third floor of a condo, and I'm standing there with a towel trying to keep it from ruining everything. Yeah. And I'm like, where's your main water shut off? I'm screaming, and no one knows where it is. And it's like, all I can do is hold on to this rag or this towel and try to stop the water. And like, no one has any idea where it is.
Mm. That can cause a lot of problems. Thank you so much for coming in and sharing stories and information with us again. Give us your contact information one more time when you get a chance.
You can always reach us at 513-SERVICE. That's 737-8423. And you can find us online at HermanServices.com.
You can also jump onto our Facebook page, In and Around the House Facebook page. We have a link right to Herman Services page. You can follow that path as well. Thank you so much, Jason, for coming in and joining us.
Thank you. I love being here.
It's awesome. Apologize for what might be a long journey home, depending on where you have to get to.
I was just going to go look at another sump pump or water heater today, so we'll get there eventually. If you're waiting on us to, if you're a customer waiting on us for us to get there, please be patient.
And everybody, just pack your patience. There are still several closings on main thoroughfares to keep that in mind, so just be cautious, just be patient, and you'll get where you're going. If you're planning on going down to the Home and Garden Show, it's down at the Duke Energy Center, still going on today and tomorrow, but you might want to Google an alternative route and just be cautious and enjoy your day. Get to your local Home and Garden Center, and it's going to be a fantastic year. I just know it. Enjoy the weather today, too. We'll talk to you next week.